This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Both the legislative bodies for the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are taking up budget proposals made by their chief executives. And while both proposed budgets deal with a structural imbalance, they take it on in different ways.
The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum each year analyzes the financial plan from both the city and the county. And Forum President Rob Henkin joins us in the studio to share the group's analysis. Welcome back to the show, Rob. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me back, Mitch.
So there has been a structural imbalance in place for a long time as far as the city of Milwaukee goes. So what makes this year different enough that you and the forum term it a watershed moment for the city and the city budget?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. First of all, the annual budget gap caused by the structural imbalance is bigger heading into 2018, and the primary reason is that the city's pension fund contribution needs to go up by a whopping $22 million. So that's number one. Number two is Mayor Barrett has made a determination in this budget that whereas previously, in part because the size of the hole wasn't as gaping, that he was going to shield the Milwaukee Police Department in particular, to a lesser extent the Milwaukee Fire Department. They have had some cuts over the years, but they've been smaller percentage-wise, perhaps in other departments. But this is the year that he feels that that has to change and that police and fire need to be treated roughly equivalent to other city departments and need to share the pain.
So we're talking about, you know, it's different both in terms of the pressures on the budget and in terms of the resolution that the mayor is seeking anyway.
Exactly. And again, we can, I'm sure, have a long discussion and debate about whether Milwaukee Police Department ought to be prioritized among all of the city functions and whether fire should be either 1 or 1A as well. But the fact is that in this proposed budget, again, the size of the hole is so great. There's another problem in terms of the tax stabilization fund. Not really a problem, but because of the fact that the city has been running some big surpluses in a few previous years, they had healthy reserves. They were able to dip into that fund for $27 million in 2017. That has to go down to $19 million in 2018. So you put that issue together with the pension issue, and it would have been very difficult to shield public safety.
So pension costs, as you say, have gone up. Healthcare is going down, and it partially offsets the pension increase. Why are healthcare costs decreasing?
So that's really the one bright spot in this budget. Healthcare costs for the city of Milwaukee have been the story over the past several years. The city was able to enjoy $10 to $15 million of reduced healthcare costs from year to year because of some very big changes they made in terms of the structure of their healthcare benefit. They've put a big focus on wellness. They went to a self-funded approach with a new third-party administrator. All of these things added up to some substantial savings. The expectation was that those savings were going to run out, that eventually the positive impacts would have essentially been exhausted and healthcare would start growing again, maybe not at the 8 to 10% rate per year that they had before these moves were made, but at least at a 3 to 5% rate. Surprisingly, healthcare claims are down. For whatever reason, city employees and retirees are using the healthcare benefit less than had been projected. That means that they can roll some savings from 2017. It lowers the base for their projection. And so they actually see a $6.7 million reduction in 2018. And indeed, that does help offset the pension increase, but clearly still doesn't fully offset it.
Now, the mayor makes the case that the public safety positions could potentially be saved with the flexibility to enact a local sales tax. And this speaks to something that we've talked about many times before. There just are not many options for increasing revenue for the city.
That's exactly the case. So the city has leaned so heavily on the property tax and on fees over the past several years. The property tax is the only comprehensive local taxation option that is available to the city of Milwaukee. That is unlike virtually every other city across the country. Its size, all of those cities use some form of a sales tax, either a general sales tax or a selective sales tax. So yes, the options are scarce. There is a sizable property tax levy increase in this budget, $9.7 million, which is about 3.7%. And in fact, this is the first year since the inception of the shared revenue program that the property tax revenue now exceeds intergovernmental revenue in the city budget. But that's really the only choices are property taxes and fees. And so that continues to be a problem for the city and continues to mean that really you have to look at service reductions.
This is also a theme for the county budget, though there are various options that the county executive is calling for. Can you, what can you tell us about the approach you see being taken in Chris Abele's budget?
So the county situation is every bit as bad. Their structural gap this year was defined as about $31 million. What is interesting about this budget is that in terms of the options available to the county executive has decided to lean on the revenue side. Almost exclusively. So when we look at how did he make up that $30 million gap, about $19 million of that is because of increased fees, and about $14.5 million of that $19 is from the $30 increase he's proposed in the vehicle registration fee. They're also dipping into reserves, and then he's doing a modest property tax levy increase. That makes up the rest of the whole. So that's really the story. We don't see the widespread service cuts or outsourcing privatization options or service sharing initiatives that have marked several previous budgets from this county executive. He has essentially come out and said that service reductions, requiring employees to pay much, much more for their health care, tactics like that are no longer palatable. He would prefer to go to the revenue side as the least bad of the series of bad options that he has before him.
Significant that we're not talking about major cuts to the sheriff's office this year.
Yes. And so that absolutely marks a first in previous years, the fact that Sheriff Clark has moved on, and it's no secret the antipathy between those two individuals. So there is a move in this budget to try to shore up some of the previous holes that have been in the sheriff's budget. We're not quite sure that they got all the way there, but hopefully this should be a manageable situation going forward. But again, the inability to cut as much from the sheriff did also force his hand a bit on the fee side.
Well, and so much the way the Common Council is going to have to make the decision in terms of the cuts to public safety programs, on the county side, there are some big questions about whether county supervisors will be keen to enact all these revenue increases that the county executive is talking about.
Absolutely. There are no good options here. And even, I think, more so in the county. The county has been eliminating whatever fluff is in that budget for at least 15 successive years now. And so I'm not going to make pretend that you still couldn't wring out a few million dollars of savings from some position reductions, some contractual savings, et cetera. But when it's a $30 million hole, you're not going to get that by increased efficiency. So only difficult choices, and it's really pretty simple. We either raise more revenue or we have to reduce some services. So the county board clearly is not happy about the $30 proposed increase in the vehicle registration fee, but their options really would have to be to turn to some of the discretionary areas of county spending, most notably the parks, the cultural institutions, and the transit system. And I don't know if they want to go there. So our overwhelming message is, look, that's a legitimate debate and consideration as to whether you want to change the mix of revenue enhancements versus spending cuts, but let's not resort to short-term solutions. Let's not resort to deferring more capital projects to next year and to further raiding your reserves or doing other one-time solutions.
Dare we look at 2019 yet?
You know, the county situation, I think, was uniquely severe this year because of an unexpectedly high increase on the healthcare side, about $14 million plus a $6 million increase on the pension side. Things may be a little bit better next year. But that's part of the problem. We have these structural imbalances in both governments. And so the starting point every year is not where are we going to invest new resources, but where are we going to cut? And until we look at the revenue structures and the whole financial paradigm for both governments, it's going to be hard to escape that conundrum.
Rob Henken, thanks.
Thank you, Mitch.
Rob Henken is president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. You can find a link to the forum's budget briefs for both Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee at wuwm.com.